Yeah, Dion, from the in-house perspective, kind of, what are you seeing from, are you seeing these be more negotiated, and what's your perspective on that?
Absolutely. I feel like we used to be able to just send our engagement letter, our standard engagement letter over, and they would sign it, or they would just send us their standard form. We would sign it. I mean, way back when, we didn't even really do engagement letters. Every now and then you were like, oh yeah, I need one of those. Now it's really the standard. And from our perspective in-house, we have certain things that we can and cannot have in engagement letters. And I think history has dictated that. Someone would get into some issue with a law firm about this, and then all of a sudden now it's in the billing guidelines. And so I think over time, with all of these issues, these have developed and now they have really become the standard. I mean, if we don't have an engagement letter, and I think most firms don't have an engagement letter, they don't want to start work.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think much like anything else, I think engagement letters are never a problem until they become a problem, and then they're a really, really big problem, right? So I think that's where we've all learned from touching the hot pan, and that's on both sides. Dion, you're not a cat. Are you ready
I'm
to
not a
proceed?
cat. But the cat does want to get out of the door, so I'm going to
That's
let him
so
out.
awesome. That's so awesome. I think other things that I've seen, and it's really interesting as we talk about like the variety of engagement letters that are out there. We've obviously provided a sample that's really straightforward, but I've seen everything from very simple, straightforward letters to now firms sending over kind of full-on click-through internet-based DocuSign letters with referenced terms and conditions that are another click through that if you're it's much like doing something with Microsoft, right? Like you have no idea what you're signing up for, and so it's really interesting. And so it's been a challenge for us to negotiate in some of those contexts. And this is a thing where at the end of the day we're trying to form a relationship between our company and our outside firm, and starting it off that way is always really interesting. And I think we talked about this a little bit in preparing for this, but what we do in these cases is you are building relationship and trust. But when you don't have that to start with, these engagement letters really start dictating kind of the tone of what you're gonna get off with. So let's start with the first topic on the. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Well, we have a question already that I don't want to ignore.
Let's not jump in.
Yeah, so we've got a question from Amy, she's got her camera on. Amy, I'll read it for you so you don't have to unmute. Her question is, do you generally see that engagement letters for matters involving alternative fees contain more provisions than for hourly billing matters? And I know we're going to get to this, but I want to go and jump into that right now, Clay and Dion.
Yeah, let's tee it up. Dion, do you have thoughts on that? So do AFAs make engagement letters more complex or not in your mind?
I think they make them way more complex. And of course, it also depends on how you structure them. But when we have an hourly rate, there might be two or three sentences about what you're going to bill and how often and what your hourly rate is. And that's about it. When you do alternative fee structures, there's so much more to it depending on how you set it up, unless it's just a plain flat fee. But even that has to be described and sort of parameters put around it. So for sure, they're a lot more complex. They have a lot more to them because you have to define that whole billing complex system that you're going to come up with and what parameters you're going to put on it.
Yeah, I would definitely, I'd agree with that. I think the answer, Amy, as every good lawyer answer is it depends, right? Which is, it depends on what the AFA is. To Dion's point, if it's a flat fee, I've seen those are pretty standard, pretty straightforward. We do that fairly routinely. But if it's a success metric, right, where there's a success fee attached, or even if it's staged litigation where you're doing it through various stages, it's what does that mean? And how do you put all of the things and all the contingencies that can happen in the various, either in a transaction or in litigation, and how do you put all that into a paragraph that captures that? I think it gets really challenging. And that's why, candidly, back to that trust relationship, I have found it more challenging to enter into AFAs with firms I haven't done business with before. And so we generally will start off when we engage new firms on the age-old hourly basis, right? And then as we build that relationship and they learn us and we learn them, we're able to get into those AFAs, which because we're all a little bit more comfortable and had that trust relationship built up. Steve, what do you think?
No, I've got nothing to add except, you know, remember when you're dealing with any firm of modest size. I mean, if you've got a firm you're dealing with, it's maybe, you know, a lawyer and their partner or two, different scenario. Any firm of modest size, remember too that the engagement letters that your contact sends you is coming from that firm's office of the general counsel. I mean, every modest side firm to the biggest ones, we all have OGCs. So, so someone answered Amy's question, but also Clay, to your earlier point, it's not as if when I get hired in a matter, I think, okay, what's today's engagement going to look like? And I sit and draft it. It's an approved form. And, you know, alterations from that typically have to go through a firm's OGC function. And that would include the terms of a contingency or an alternative fee agreement. And that even gets more complicated from a firm's perspective, because if it's an AFA, not only does the OGC function have to review it and approve it, but so too probably do certain finance functions. And so mechanically, it does get more complicated. And like anything, from a big firm perspective, the more cooks in the kitchen, the more complicated the recipe gets. And so that also happens in AFA style agreements.